Good morning. It is Monday, August 24th, 2026, and this is the Validation Clarity Radar. I am Nova, here with Kai. This week, four signals challenge the comfortable idea that validation ends when the output looks right. Agent workflows are being compiled. Diagnoses are being audited. Production retries are becoming test cases. And self-improvement claims are meeting repeatability tests.
I am Kai. In other words, the answer can be correct while the process is reckless, the evidence is weak, the environment is misleading, or the next run collapses. A green result is starting to need a resume.
Our four stories come from new software engineering research and one very public production failure. Together, they ask whether we can make an agent show its dependencies, reconstruct its evidence, survive a shuffled evaluation, and behave responsibly when the system around it is already failing. A modest Monday checklist. First, on August 21st, researchers published Natural Language Workflows Are Not Software Yet. Their system, ARTIC, compiles prose workflows into an artifact-driven representation for reliable agent execution.
The title earns its confidence. Natural language procedures leave dependencies implicit. A later step may need a result from three steps earlier, but the executor has to infer that relationship from prose and context. Branches, loops, and exceptions add pressure until instruction following becomes an unreliable substitute for control flow.
ARTIC makes each step declare the artifacts it reads and writes. Constraints gate produced artifacts, and explicit transfers determine what executes next. That sounds less like a better prompt and more like a small workflow language.
Exactly. The compiler also identifies where enforcement is hardest, steps that depend on too much state or contain difficult control logic. It then refines those regions through constrained optimization. Validation is no longer one final check. It is distributed across the workflow boundary.
The reported results cover 488 problem instances from 11 real-world domain workflows. ARTIC improved task resolution by 28 percentage points over the original text workflow, with consistency improving by 32 points across models and 56 points across repeated executions.
Those are substantial gains, but the central risk moves rather than disappears. The compiler might faithfully enforce the wrong interpretation. ARTIC addresses that with local faithfulness obligations and scenario-based dry runs, testing compiled regions against the source workflow instead of trusting one global semantic judgment.
That feels important. A long prompt is one large ambiguity budget. Local obligations let us ask smaller questions. Did this step consume the intended artifact? Did the constraint preserve the requirement? Did this branch activate under the right scenario?
And failures become attributable. If execution goes wrong, we can distinguish a bad source instruction, an incorrect compilation, a failed constraint, and an agent action that violated the compiled workflow. Without that structure, all four collapse into the model did something odd. You are tempted to call this the future of agent specifications. Natural language for intent, compiled artifacts for execution. I disagree with that implied direction of travel. Compilation should not automatically follow every casual instruction. Some work is exploratory. Forcing an artifact schema too early can freeze a bad understanding and create bureaucratic confidence.
Fair. Then compile at the point where consequences become durable. Writes, approvals, releases, customer-facing changes, or expensive downstream work. Conversation explores, artifacts commit.
That is defensible. The validation design question becomes where interpretation must end and enforcement must begin. High-risk transitions should require declared inputs, outputs, constraints, and a dry-run scenario before the agent can cross them.
The practical test is simple. Rerun the same workflow across models and repeated executions. If results diverge, identify whether the source, compilation, or execution layer caused it. Consistency becomes diagnosable instead of mysterious, and a retained trace can show whether the defect entered through interpretation, compilation, or execution. So much for prompts pretending to be programs. Our next story asks a different question. What if the agent reaches the right answer for the wrong reasons? Also on August 21st, researchers published Beyond Fault Localization, a trajectory-level study of language model agents performing microservice root cause analysis. They examined 3,500 diagnostic trajectories, rather than scoring only the final service named.
That changes the unit of evaluation. Traditional automated root cause analysis asks whether the agent localized the responsible service. But an on-call engineer also needs the fault propagation route, the observations supporting it, and enough causal structure to decide whether remediation is warranted.
The researchers found a disconnect between answer correctness and diagnostic quality. An agent could point to the right service while omitting decisive telemetry or failing to reconstruct how the fault produced the observed symptoms.
Which is dangerous because a lucky endpoint earns the same score as a disciplined investigation. If that agent is later allowed to remediate automatically, the hidden weakness becomes operational risk. Correct diagnosis once does not imply a reliable repair policy.
Their successful trajectories stayed on what they call the fault impact surface, acted on retrieved evidence, and broadened the query repertoire as the investigation deepened.
Failures had a recognizable shape. Decisive evidence was omitted, retrieved evidence was misinterpreted, or unsupported inference filled a gap. Those are not merely wrong answers. They are evidence handling defects that can be tested directly.
The proposed defense, DiagGuard, uses two stages. Grounding surveys the available observations before localization. Verification then audits the diagnosis against those observations.
In an independent setting with a different model, benchmark, and service topology, that raised top 1 accuracy from 43.5% to 52.5%. Useful evidence, although more than 47% remained wrong. The guard improves the system. It does not make automated remediation safe by default.
Before letting the diagnosis trigger a fix, I would require a bounded action, reversible execution, explicit evidence coverage, and a verified propagation path.
If the agent claims a database saturation event caused API timeouts, it should cite the relevant telemetry, connect the dependency path, explain contradictory signals, and identify what observation would disprove the diagnosis. Missing evidence should lower authority, not invite fluent interpolation.
That sounds like validation of the investigation itself. Query choice, evidence coverage, causal path, and uncertainty, followed by validation of the proposed repair.
Yes, and the repair should generate a prediction. If we change this resource limit or roll back that deployment, which telemetry should move, in what direction, and within what window? Production then becomes a controlled verification step rather than a place where the agent improvises.
The second order effect is larger than root cause analysis. Code review agents, migration agents, and security agents can all be right by accident. We need trajectory tests wherever the system's authority depends on how it reached its conclusion.
With restraint, we should evaluate observable evidence use and policy-relevant actions, not reward a particular pro style or pretend private reasoning is a stable artifact. Right answer, defensible path, bounded repair. That is a much stronger handoff from diagnosis to action. It also gives incident learning somewhere concrete to land. Failed trajectories become replayable scenarios, missing observations become instrumentation work, and unsupported leaps become new verification rules.
Now let's leave the laboratory and look at what happens when production itself becomes the test harness.
On August 20, GitHub Chief Technology Officer Vladimir Fedorov published "The August 17 Outage and the Work Ahead." The outage lasted 7 hours and 47 minutes and affected GitHub, authentication, actions, APIs, pull requests, issues, and Copilot.
The root was capacity failure at a critical infrastructure component in the central United States data center after traffic reached a new peak. Pressure spread into authentication and multiple services. That is already a reminder that change-triggered tests cover only part of operational risk.
The especially relevant detail is recovery. Some Copilot services produced errors that triggered a client-side retry loop. Those retries increased traffic while the platform was trying to restore service.
Retry logic is usually introduced as resilience. Under correlated failure, it becomes a load generator. The system needs retry limits, budgets, jitter, variable timeouts, and overload-aware behavior. Otherwise, every well-intentioned client votes to make recovery harder.
GitHub says it is applying consistent retry limits and retry budgets across service-to-service interactions, reviewing resource pressure alerts, isolating critical systems, and investing in stronger testing, safer rollouts, observability, and alerting.
Notice what the ship signal missed. Neither August outage was caused by a code or configuration change. A validation system focused exclusively on diffs could remain perfectly green while demand crossed an architectural limit.
Should capacity headroom be part of every release verdict? Not every release, in the same way. But services need explicit operating envelopes, and changes affecting traffic shape, retry behavior, fanout, caching, or dependencies should be evaluated against them. Risk-based validation means connecting the diff to the failure modes it can amplify.
GitHub reports monthly commits growing from 1.4 billion in April to 2.9 billion, while Azure now carries roughly 58% of platform load. Scale is moving quickly enough that last quarter's successful load test may already describe a smaller system.
Exactly. Capacity evidence has a freshness date. A test result should name the load model, dependency health, retry policy, regional distribution, and resource pressure assumptions. Otherwise, passed at scale is a slogan with an expiration problem.
I disagree with teams that treat retries as an implementation detail. Retry policy belongs in validation alongside API contracts. We should test synchronized failures, partial recovery, server throttling, and clients running old behavior.
Strong agreement disguised as disagreement. I would add that retry budgets must be observable in production and enforceable per caller. A global limit without attribution can hide the client responsible for the storm.
And agents increase this risk. They can initiate more concurrent work, call more tools, and repeat failed operations faster than a human operator. Their error handling policy is part of the platform's capacity model,
which connects directly to pre-release testing. Simulate degraded dependencies and verify that the agent slows down, backs off, preserves item potency, and stops before retries become the incident.
The larger lesson is uncomfortable but useful. Production reliability cannot remain a separate dashboard consulted after functional validation. Capacity, isolation, retry behavior, and recovery dynamics are part of whether a change, or an autonomous action, is safe to advance.
That is a real expansion of done. Not more tests everywhere, but evidence against the failure modes that dominate at scale.
We have one final story, and it asks whether an agent that claims to learn is actually learning, or merely benefiting from the order of the exam. On August 18th, Salesforce AI Research published On the Fragility of Self-Improving Agents: Variance, Task Order, and Underspecification. The researchers reevaluated memory-based agents across multiple runs and shuffled task sequences.
These agents improve by processing an online stream of tasks and updating a textual memory bank. Prior evaluations often use one run and a default task order. That order can create an implicit curriculum. Earlier tasks teach exactly what later tasks require.
Shuffle the order and the improvement story changes.
Sometimes substantially. The researchers identify two mechanisms. Complex multi-step evaluation is noisy, and the self-improvement loop amplifies that noise because one mistaken lesson affects future tasks. Performance also depends on task order, so the benchmark may reward curriculum luck rather than general learning.
They inspected the memories and tested richer specification. Detailed rubrics and environment feedback were added to memory construction. That recovered some degradation, but significant reliability gaps remained.
Which means the agent improved needs a statistical contract. Report multiple runs, variance, confidence intervals, task order sensitivity, and the distribution of outcomes, not only the best or average trajectory. Also inspect whether memory accumulated reusable knowledge or brittle instructions tied to the benchmark sequence.
Would you block all automated memory updates until they pass that battery?
For high-impact systems, yes. Or at least quarantine them. Candidate memories can be evaluated against replay sets, shuffled sequences, counterexamples, and held-out tasks before promotion. Low-risk personalization can use lighter gates, but rollback and provenance still matter.
That makes memory look like code. Version changes, tests, promotion stages, and a way to revert a harmful lesson.
It should. Memory changes future behavior across tasks, which can make them more consequential than a single code edit. Yet many systems treat memory as informal text appended after one success or failure.
The research also sharpens our earlier stories. Arctic reduces underspecification before execution. DiaGuard checks evidence use during execution. Salesforce tests whether lessons remain valid across future executions.
Nicely connected. Specification, trajectory, and memory form a life cycle. A defect in any layer can produce a convincing local success and a fragile system.
Then the evaluation suite should include sequence perturbation as a first-class technique, shuffle tasks, vary starting memory, repeat stochastic runs, and measure whether the claimed improvement survives.
Yes, and publish the downside distribution. Autonomous systems are governed by their bad runs, not only their average.
My prediction? Self-improving will become an earned release label. Platforms will need memory diffs, provenance, repeated run evidence, order stress results, and rollback before a learned behavior reaches broader workloads.
I would approve that label, with a renewal date.
This week's throughline is simple. Test the path, not just the answer. Compile consequential workflows into explicit obligations. Verify that diagnoses use the right evidence. Exercise retry behavior under failure. Stress learned improvements across runs and task orders.
The answer still matters, but trustworthy autonomy requires evidence that the surrounding process is structured, reproducible, bounded, and stable when conditions change.
That is our show. Our original country sign-off this week is called Show Me the Trail.
The answer came back shining green. But tell me what the agency. Name the steps and mark the scale. If you won't trust, show me the trail. Show me the trail, show me the proof. Test every turn from ground to roof. Run it twice and change the line. Trust is built one check at a time. When the traffic climbs and the retries roll, guard the path and guard the goal. Show me the trail, show me the proof. Test every turn from ground to roof. Run it twice and change the line. Trust is built one check.